Thanks, colleagues, for a great summary and explanation of what some of the needs are and what some of the perceptions are. So I'll talk about the Harvard World Map. This is, where's my arrow? Not working. Okay, nothing to disclose here. The learning objectives that we set out for this talk to describe three features of the Harvard World Map, discuss how visualization of hydrofracking locations can generate new hypotheses, and also discuss how sharing results of the implications of hydrofracking can enhance awareness of public health issues. So the Harvard World Map was created just a few years ago, July 2012, by the Harvard Center of Geographic Analysis. It's a web-based, free, open-source, public domain tool. And that distinguishes it from some of the other tools, GIS tools that are around, such as the ESRI tools. This accepts multiple file types, JPEGs, Excel, Docs, and PNG files. So you can have images, databases, text, maps, almost anything you want on this document. It's designed for use by multiple collaborators. And also, it was designed with the community in mind. It was designed to make sure that the community could participate in the generation of data and also in the presentation of data. And in that sense, there are differential permissions that can be given to the layers, so that if you have some very highly sensitive data, you can constrain the permissions. And if you have data that the public should see, you can take those constraints off and make them totally available to the public. The URL for you, those of you who'd like to take a look, is the worldmap.harvard.edu. And some of the other characteristics are you can upload large data sets and link them and overlay them with thousands of other layers. And this information, this text, is actually from the Harvard World Map page. You can create and edit and link features to rich media. You can share, edit, and view access with small or large groups. So you can work across the world with people, or you can work within your community. You can export data, and you can use online cartographic tools. And then you can also warp maps from other producers of maps into this Harvard World Map, so that you can take a map of the tombs of Egypt, for instance, and warp it onto the Harvard World Map and have a one-on-one correspondence. And you can publish your data or your organization's data to the world or to just a few collaborators. Let's take a look at some of the visualization of fracking locations. Many of you have perhaps seen some material such as this in a different format. What's some of the interesting things here are that right here you can see the border with Pennsylvania and New York, and you can see how straight it is because New York does not allow fracking. But Pennsylvania does. So this is Marcellus Shale here. And then we have down here in Kansas and Oklahoma, we have this Mississippian limestone area right here. The purple is shale basins, which are the repository for oil and gas. And the gray are shale plays. So this shale play area here, for instance, in Michigan. Shale plays are areas that have been targeted for exploration because they are seismically appropriate for oil and gas drilling, and especially have good economic prospects for delivering oil and gas. So here's an example of the data that is behind every dot. So it may be that you can't see it here, but for here in the Bakken Shale, I have located a particular well right here. And then these are the details about that well. One sec. So That can tell you when they started drilling and how much water is used. Thanks, Liam. Thanks. And you can do that for any well that is pictured on this map. That is, you can get the detail. Now, by getting the detail, then we can go ahead with any kind of research that we're interested in. So if we find, for instance, that this area, this particular well, a particular well, uses a lot of water, then we can go ahead and look at what is the volume of the aquifer. Can the aquifer actually support this drilling over a long period of time? Is it sustainable? This is an example of the Bakken Shale up here in the red in North Dakota. The blue dots represent all the permitted wells, so those wells that are expected to be drilled in the future. And the same is true down here in the Marcellus Shale. The blue dots are the wells that are permitted that could be drilled in the future. Again, this red box here is represented in these feature details. Here's an example of, maybe some of you saw this in Harper's, and this is what the night sky looks like in the Bakken Shale. So this is presumably Chicago, and this is what the flares look like from above when you look down on North Dakota, and you can see how much flaring there's going on of the gas that's coming out of the ground there that they can't use. So in terms of air quality, for instance, we can add air quality issues and data to the Harvard World Map. Here's an example of some ozone monitors that are up in the Bakken Shale area. Right here, these green rectangles are ozone monitors, and there are some other EPA monitors down here. So you can see that there's a collection of ozone monitors there, and we can go and get the data from those monitors as well. And we can do this for any location in the country where we've set up this world map for fracking. So then Trevor, and I'm part of the Intercenter Working Group, Trevor went to the Union of Concerned Scientists meeting in July in California. So I extracted from their working groups some of the key ideas. And these track very nicely with what Katrina and Sarah and Kathleen talked about before. Water and seismicity. So these are some of the areas where research is necessary and where we need to provide the public with information. Water availability, what are the aquifer volumes? Water use, what's the monthly use? What's the historical use of water? What's the water use once the drilling starts there? Water quality, of course. Methane and groundwater. Injection well sites, that's where wastewater is injected back into the well, can cause some potentially seismic activity. The other working group, air and climate, came up with these topics that need to be researched and that the public needs to know about. The methane issues, the methane leaks at the wellheads, which we can certainly develop some data collection around. The VOCs are very important, and we can go to the air toxic release inventory for those. The GIS location of the vapor recovery units we can find. And then, of course, particulates and an ozone map. Then in terms of the community, which is very critical, of course, in this endeavor, the health effects studies that we need, we're way behind. We don't have a lot of baseline. We don't have the health effects studies on the fracking fluids, et cetera. We need those. We need to look at not only the physiological diseases of lung disease and other physiological diseases, but also mental health issues. The home values in unconventional oil and gas drilling areas with comparison with non-drilling areas is a possibility. Workforce numbers, as was mentioned before, crime historically and present. School census, what happens when these workers come in? Are there more kids? Is there a lot more drain on public resources in a community? Police and fire, emergency, etc. Vehicular accidents, the location of in-use private wells, and of course, silica. Silica is going to be a very important issue in Iowa, as it is in Wisconsin and in Minnesota. And so we not only need to think about the fracking fluids, but we need to think about what's happening with the people who are mining silica and transporting silica. And there are new regulations potentially coming forward from OSHA on the silica standard. And then some of the states are also starting to develop their own regulations on silica and trying to get ahead of the curve there. So we need to share these data. It's a complex environment. The laws and regulations lag. They lag at the state level. They lag at the federal level. We have uneven reinforcement, and enforcement is waived for some corporations, as you may know. The political environment is charged, and then we have all these issues that we deal with in environmental sciences, that we don't have good characterization of the hazards. We need exposure assessment and health effect studies, and of course the whole issue of credibility and trust is huge, as was pointed out before. So how do we protect the public's interest, the interest in the need for energy and in the need for jobs, with the public's health? So the Harvard World Map is an opportunity for us to use and document a systems-based and evidence-based approach to some of these issues around fracking in order to characterize the human health effects, the ecological effects, and as well as to keep track of our precious human resources of air and water. So in summary, this World Map project and the World Map itself is a versatile and accessible tool. We can have large data sets. We can have diverse types of data. We can have nice collaboration across the disciplines and a variety of media formats. So geocoded data, of course, is a central issue here. And I think by visualizing these data, we can make them more easily understood by the community and more understood across researchers and research projects. They generate hypotheses very easily. You can ask new questions by combining layers, and that's something that we need to know, need to be able to do. So this world map we are projecting could provide a nexus for hydrofracking data of all kinds. So I'd like to thank our NIEH Center Director, Doug Dockery, and our Ari Bernstein from the Harvard Center for Health and the Global Environment, the Harvard Center for Geographic Analysis, and the Inter-Center Working Group that's been mentioned, plus Liam, our moderator, and my colleagues. Thank you very much.